Die Black Lips mit Modern Art auf Flux FM. Es ist 16 Uhr und gleich 10 Minuten. Die Band aus Atlanta, Georgia spielt heute und morgen im schönen Privatclub, um eben die aktuelle siebte LP Underneath the Rainbow nochmal vorzustellen. Jetzt sind sie aber erstmal bei mir und wir quatschen über die Zusammenarbeit mit dem Black Keys Drummer Patrick Carney, der große Teile der Platte mit der Band produziert hat. Wir sprechen über großes Entertainment als wichtigen Teil der Black Lips Shows. Wir versuchen herauszufinden, wie es Brand Hinds von Mastodon auf die Platte geschafft hat. Wir reden über die Zusammenarbeit mit einem französischen Modelabel. Das interessiert mich auch sehr und vieles, vieles mehr. Zunächst aber nochmal hello and welcome Cole and Joe.
Hello, thank you for having us.
De nada, compadre. It's a pleasure to have you. So, how are you doing? How's traveling been so far? Where are you coming from today?
We're coming from Prague today. It was our first show for this tour in Europe.
Oh, cool. And how's that been?
It was excellent.
Cool. Yeah, it's in a super interesting city to play at Prague, and that's something I wanted to talk to you about anyhow, because you're not only a band that is known to tour excessively, like nonstop, but you also are well known for touring countries that are not regularly visited by other bands. You've been touring the Middle East, for example, I think a year back, or when was this at, actually?
That was 2012.
2012, yes. Already 2 years ago.
Yes, well, we see it as a big world out there with like 7 billion people in it, so there's a lot of people who have yet to hear our music, and we want to share the experience with them.
Yeah, and that's a good idea. And so many bands, they just don't think about going to Egypt or to play a show at Thailand or something.
It's a challenge sometimes. That's why maybe other bands don't go there.
Yeah, and you do put some effort into those shows or making them possible as a band yourself. There's no promo agency or no booker that does that
effort
for you, right?
No security in the Middle East, nothing, you know.
No money, really. but it's fun.
Yeah, and then I read about that, the fact that you really had fun, especially when you tour those countries that are not as regularly visited by other bands.
Something different.
Yeah, it's cool. It's good that you do that. Congratulations on that and on your new record, Underneath the Rainbow. You've been recording this album with a little help of Tommy Brannick and Patrick Carney, who's the drummer of the Black Keys. We all know what he does for a living on a regular basis. But how did you choose those guys? What was the reason for getting Patrick to produce the album? Did you know him before? Did you trust in his skills to record a band live, or what was it?
Yeah, we met him in Mexico City. We played a festival and we were hanging out, and he invited us to come record. So we said, why not, you know?
Oh, cool. So you just decided on the fly and then went to Nashville and started working with him.
We trusted him from, you know, his previous work and knowing him after a while. So
it was one of those sunrise agreements when the sun's coming up.
And you think that's just the drugs talking, but it was actually real.
Yeah, that's good though. And I think, especially in music business, some of those meetings are really important. That you keep on going, and even if the sun is not up yet, you just stay there with Patrick Carney, keep on talking, wait for the sun to rise, and then you make a deal for a record.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's part of the job.
That's right.
I mean, sorry, but it's part of the job. And then how did you work? Because it sounds super rough. It sounds rougher than Arabian Mountain, I would say, and it sounds live recorded, because I can hear some little mistakes in there. What I love as well, because this is what makes music magic, and this is what makes me want to listen to that song again in maybe 5 years. If it would have been polished, it's getting boring after five times of listening to it.
If you listen to Louie Louie by the Kingsmen, there's a really bad mistake in that recording.
Yeah, and my example for it is all Marvin Gaye recordings, actually, because there's so many songs that I've been listening to for 200,000 times, but I can still listen to them and hear a little tiny mistake, or one can hear Marvin stomp to his lyrics or something, and you go like, oh, this shouldn't be on the recording, but that's what makes it magic. So,
Or you hear Jimi Hendrix turning the pages of his notebooks if you turn up the volume loud enough. But recording with Patrick, he for the first time ever, we did Pro Tools, like digital recording.
Really?
We normally do all analog. Even with Tom Brannick, we did analog tape.
Wow.
But yeah, so he showed us that we could do entirely different medium, a different vehicle, and still get a similar sound.
Yeah.
It's nice because it's a lot faster. Mm-hmm. So when you're in a really nice studio, you kind of need to work fast because it, you know, costs money. So we were able to in a nice studio and work quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It makes it like four times as fast.
Yeah. But you did record most of the stuff live together as a band, or was it brought together layer after layer or
something? Yeah, we normally do all music live.
Then
put the finishing touches on afterwards.
Maybe the lyrics or the vocals are recorded a little bit later or something.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
If we can do them live, we'll do them, but...
Yeah, cool. Because on your last record, Mark Ronson was with you. Why didn't you want to work with him again? Was it a bit too polished, the results
we had talked of to working him, with him? We talked to him about recording, but he was like busy. And he thought we needed to keep developing the record, mm-hmm. and we didn't want to wait, so we just moved forward without him.
Because in direct comparison, I would say I like the sound and the roughness of the new album more. And I sometimes feel that Mark Ronson, he's a good guy and he's a well taste in sounds and everything, but sometimes he has a tendency to overproduce things. And he didn't do that with Arabian Mountain, but sometimes you can feel it. It was pretty close to be too polished, kind of.
He was trying to be very careful about not going too far with that with us.
Cool. So you would want to work with him again if he finds the time.
Yeah, we were going to. It's just the scheduling didn't quite work out. And we weren't on the same page.
Another thing that I found out today is that Mastodon's Brand Hinds is on the record, or he even co-wrote a song.
He helped write a bass line with on one of Ian's songs.
Make You Mine is the song that
he gives it, the kind of Jackson 5 like get up and boogie vibe.
How cool is that?
See, because I was worried about this, though.
He would be the guy that you accept the sound like to suddenly appear on the record. But he's doo-wopping kind of, right?
Yeah, he insisted upon being around while we were recording, so we were like, well, if you're going to be here, Brent, you might as well help us.
So he just hung out at the studio and you were like, come on, just hanging out is not going to make it. You just play a little bit.
He loves to hang out.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So another thing that
we
learned.
If we let him do the whole record, he would have just done it all.
maybe it's a funny thing when you're touring with a metal band all year and then you get to play a funky bass line. It's got to be fun.
Yeah, sure, definitely. Maybe, yeah.
It was funky, all right.
Well, it sounds good to me. Let's listen to a song of your new record before we talk a bit more and give away tickets for tonight's show. Here's the Black Lips, also nochmal mit Justice After All. Yes, die Black Lips mit Justice After All auf Flux FM. Bei mir im Studio sind immer noch Cole Alexander und Joe Bradley. Wir unterhalten uns nach wie vor noch ein wenig über die Show heute Abend und auch über die Aufnahmen, die gerade getätigt wurden für die aktuelle Platte Underneath the Rainbow, die ja Ende März erschienen ist. Außerdem will ich noch mal was rausfinden zum Thema Leder- oder Jeansjacke. I've read about a leather or denim jacket that you guys designed with a French fashion label. Is there any truth behind that story?
Yeah, April 77 was the brand that we collaborated with for a garment.
Uh-huh. And those jackets, can one find them somewhere? Can one buy them at your merch stand?
I think at the April 77 website, if they're not sold out, it was limited.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It came with a flexi disc for an unreleased song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it's... What did they look like? I didn't find photos, but I read
kind of like a biker vest,
like a gay biker vest or something. That was a description. Yeah.
There's also a promotional music video for the vest and song.
Okay, cool. So are you thinking about maybe doing another one of those? Because I think it would be a cool thing for the merch stand to just not go for T-shirts or something, but a rocker vest, kind of?
Perhaps. I think it was a more of a boutique-type item. Okay. Like, if people had the... Like, I think it was 250 euros or something.
What?
Something ridiculous to pay. But if people have the money to spend and they want to have something like that, they can have it.
Okay.
It's so there.
That was like the haute couture, high fashion kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's really funny. There's a video of you and Boy George on the internet covering a T-Rex song.
That's right.
And I read that you guys are planning on touring together, or has that happened already?
I'm not sure if it's gone that far.
That probably would happen.
No?
It could, though.
I think we talked to him about maybe doing a recording or something. Maybe.
Okay.
He's so very nice, very casual.
Yeah, I think so too.
He said he wanted to fuck us all.
He wanted to fuck you all.
Yeah,
but and I mean, that was obvious. You're good looking young guys. He's a guy that
he's a little
is into
older
good
than us,
looking younger guys.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was pretty obvious.
So, I'm honored.
Yeah, why not? I mean, true. But maybe you should think about doing more with this guy, because I love the video of you doing the T-Rex song with Boy George. And it was a great mixture of funny guys on that stage. I really dug that. So you're about to play two shows at Private Club, and there's one is going to be tonight and one is going to be tomorrow. What was the idea behind that? Do you like playing at smaller venues? Do you love the Private Club so much, or...
We kind of fell into it. Somebody.
Somebody had an idea.
You don't look as if this was your plan, though.
No, it was not my plan.
No, but either way, we're still going to get out there and kill it.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
We're going to play like it's Wembley Stadium.
Yes, you have to. It's part of your job again. So, ladies and gentlemen out there, wer heute Abend auf das Konzert gehen möchte von den Black Lips im Privatclub oder wer morgen das Konzert besuchen möchte von den Black Lips im Privatclub, der kann mich jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Meine Kollegin Miki Sitsch geht ans Telefon und wird dann zunächst wahrscheinlich erstmal fragen, ob ihr lieber heute oder morgen in den Privatclub gehen wollt. Den Rest klärt ihr dann mit ihr direkt. 030 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück für Tickets für die Black Lips Show heute Abend im Privatclub. Zum Abschluss unseres Gesprächs nochmal mein Lieblingslied von der neuen Platte Underneath the Rainbow. Hier sind die Black Lips mit Dorner Party. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
And you come back again as soon as possible. We'll meet again. We talk a little bit more and whatever. Thank you.
Sounds
bye-bye.
Good. Sounds like a plan.
Bye-bye.